Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
I have a very tough story today. I had a gentleman, probably in his 30s, and I'm going to name him Jay. And of course, I know everybody listening that's irregular knows we make up names, but if this is your very first podcast with us, we always keep confidentiality of our clients. So Jay's a made up name. At the very beginning of his session, Jay says to me, I booked the session to speak to my father. He says, that's the whole purpose, Karen. And he said, I have nothing else on the agenda. And I said, okay. So I tap into Dad. And Dad says to me, he went no contact with me. And I said, okay. So I huddled my little notepad on the table in front of me. And he says, write a couple of things like that down, say it to him and show him the notes so he can see it's in both forms. And I said, okay, I usually do that anyway. And he goes, well, I really want you to do that so that he really has his validations and process. And I said, okay, so I'm paying attention and I write that down, no contact with Dad. And then he says, he also went no contact with his mother. Okay, I write that down. His mother and I have both passed. Okay, another validation. His mother and I stayed married to the end of our lives. Oh, okay. So I write that down. Both have crossed over, stayed married. There wasn't a divorce. And he said, that's very important to say that. And I said, okay. So I relay all that to Jay and he looks at me and you can see, you know, when you're looking at your client and you give them enough validations that they have that moment of, oh, this is, shit's real. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay. And this person is direct, like she's getting right to the point. And he said, oh, he says, Jay says to me, oh, I like what you're doing. He says, you're just giving me straight facts. And I said, yes, I want straight facts to prove that I have your dad and to make sure for me that I do and for you. And then the conversational part. And he goes, okay. He says, I don't know what that means. I said, the conversational part means that you get to ask questions like it's a conversation, like he's still here. And he goes, that's what I was hoping for. He goes, I've been to other mediums and psychics and they would ask me if I had questions. I would ask them, but then they didn't answer them. Mm-hmm. They would move on with whatever they got. And I said, yep, that's also very fair because we don't always get answers. And he goes, that's frustrating.
That's frustrating because for how you and I operate, because I can't speak to other mediums, we'll at least hear, I'm not allowed to answer that, or not yet, or they acknowledge the question. It's not like a client asks and there's no acknowledgement and we divert or go elsewhere.
Exactly.
So I'd be frustrated too if I were a client who experienced that.
Yes, I've been a client that has experienced that with other mediums. And understand that frustration. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's important to me to say I didn't get an answer when I don't, but we can always ask them why. Mm-hmm. We can always ask them what's going on and that might give us just as much information, sometimes better information. Mm-hmm. That just is something that meets a need in the client and it can be more of an emotional need than maybe a fact-finding one, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, so his dad then says to me, his mom was extremely narcissistic. Okay, so I also write that down. And I said, would you say, like, not that you're diagnosing, but I said, would you say, like, narcissistic personality disorder? And he said, mm-hmm. He said, and it's okay for you to say that. I'm qualified enough as a physician that I understand some of this. You could say that and I feel confident in the...
His dad was? Or
yeah,
Jay
his dad.
Is?
His dad.
Oh, neat.
He said, yes. He says, and I'm confident in my answer. And I said, okay. I said, thank you. So I wrote that down on the page. And he said, I'm also confident to say that she had other mental health issues. She had OCD. He said, I can say certain things and you can write them on the page. He wants these things validated because since he went no contact, he's been educating himself. And he's quite a smart fellow himself. And he's now understanding from what he's learning and from his own therapy that he's confident that his mom has these things, had these things as well. But today he wants confirmation from me. Mm-hmm. He literally wants it because he knows my education. He knows I lived it. He's looking for that stamp of dad agrees. And he said, that's why I want it on paper. He's going to take a picture of your paper. And I said, well, he's recording the session. He goes, yeah, guaranteed he's going to take out his phone and he's going to take a picture because he wants to actually take that picture. And he's going to send it to all of his siblings to say, mom was sick. And I said, oh, why is that? And he said, well, because they were her, what Dr. Romney refers to as flying monkeys. Dad was a flying monkey, which just means that they were all her enablers and supporters because they wanted to fly under her radar for the abuse she dished out. And it fell to him, to Jay, that got a lot of this abuse. And so he literally wants to take that picture and send it to them as his way of saying, I got the truth and I'm good. And he says, but you have to tell Jay that as much as he's going to do that, that has to be for him. And that he can't wait for any responses from any of his brothers and sisters because they're never going to give him the satisfaction of saying you're right ever. So he has to do it for himself. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that down on the page. I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to write it all out right underneath it so that if he's sending, when he sends it to his brothers and sisters, that message is also written on the page. So I wrote it down. I said, Jay, I'm going to hit pause for a second. I've downloaded what I call a file, meaning that your dad's giving me a bunch of information. These are facts. And I said, I'm just going to hold it up to the camera. Never said anything to him about that he was going to take a picture, never suggested it. I just held it up because now I'm curious because I also want the validation to see that he pulls out his phone because I want to see dad's in tune with his son.
Okay, just daughter speaking to her 60-some-year-old mother, you can do a screenshot without pulling out a phone. That would be the equivalent of taking a picture and you would still be right. I'm arguing in your corner. I'm just saying there's more than one method to get there. Proceed.
Okay. I just needed a minute. I love these moments where you are that daughter that tells me those things and I get to laugh at my own thinking. I so love how fucked up my thinking is sometimes.
It's good.
How outdated it can be. I think it's hilarious. And I love that you love me so much that you do that with so much care. Mm-hmm. It's never a criticism or a form of verbal abuse. You make it so safe for me to learn.
Well, I want you to know that you can still be right, yeah. Even though someone doesn't do it the way that you anticipated.
Right. But if you're raised in a home with criticism.
Yeah. Well, when I fucking know.
Yeah. Right. Because you've lived in a home with criticism. Mm-hmm. Then to have somebody provide a lack of criticism. And simple truths, it creates that safety. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say, I love that safety that you create.
Thanks.
Okay, back to our story. So I showed it to him, and he did take out his phone, and he did take a picture of it. And then he said, I've also got it on video for me. And I got my moment where it was like, okay, dad's telling me what he's going to do. So dad knows what's coming. And that gives me reassurance that dad's on his game on the other side. I like that. And I find that highly entertaining. I love everything about it.
You do?
Yes.
Like he is saying this?
No, I love it. Oh. I'm saying I like it because I get to see that dad's told me what his son is going to do, mm-hmm. and I get to watch it. And because of patience, my patience, I get to see that all unfold. And that gives me more confidence to believe everything else dad's telling me in the spirit world. Mm-hmm. Right? So I said to dad, what else do you want to say? And he goes, oh, he says, I'm just at the beginning. He says, I want to go back to his childhood. And I said, okay, let me tell him I'm downloading another file and that I'll give it to him in a minute. So I tell Jay that and he goes, that's cool. He goes, I'd like to ask you what that means, downloading a file later. And I said, it just simply means downloading some information. He goes, does that mean that you're using all of your gifts to be able to do that? That's what that means. And I said, yes. And he goes, so you're listening, smelling, feeling, hearing, seeing, you're using all of that? And I said, exactly. And then you got to filter it all in and be able to put it into coherent words for me. Yeah. And say it again.
Synthesize.
Thank you. And I said, correct. And he goes, you're going to do it that fast while I'm just sitting here. And I said, yes. And he goes, that's amazing.
Yes, it is.
And he goes, that is really amazing. And I said, thank you for not calling it crazy. And he goes, yep, yep. So then I listened to dad, and dad says to me, look, he's the oldest. He saw a period of time as a young child where I defended him, where when his mom was being abusive, verbally, emotionally, psychologically, and then eventually it became physically, but he said, he saw me defend him. He saw me step in. And he said, eventually over years, that faded with more children coming along, more on our plate, where I felt overwhelmed with a job and then coming home tired and then having to be in another full-time job. And I don't mean cooking and cleaning. I did my share of that as well. He said, but on top of that, trying to make sure to defend each of the children.
Yeah, you're running interference.
Constantly. And he said, with more and more children, he said, I was fatigued running interference. And he said, and that's why I'm saying it was NPD, because it was constant all night or all weekend or a day off. He says, I hated my holidays, a whole week off, a whole 2 weeks. He said, even if we traveled someplace, because eventually I was going to have to run interference again in a restaurant, at Disneyland, everywhere we went. And he said, I was so fatigued that I started thinking he can handle it. He's 7. He can handle it. I've been protecting him for 7 years. I got to help the other 3. So he said, I went to the younger children and never once did I consider leaving and trying to raise the kids on my own because I didn't believe I could. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't even keeping my head above water and she was doing some of the other work like the laundry, the this, the that, the finances. She had a job and he said, I didn't think I could do it on my own. So I thought I had to stay with her because we needed the team to raise all these kids.
Which blows my mind. I get it. I empathize. I can have compassion for that way of thinking. It also blows my mind because when you think about the fact that that teammate that you're saying that you need so bad is the one who is sabotaging all the things, do you know how peaceful it could be to raise your 4 kids or 5 kids on your own, do laundry in peace while there's no NPD running the shit show upstairs while you're flipping laundry? Right? Like it could just be a functioning household with no one complicating the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting, like we can have common sense up into a point and then we think it just like goes out the window.
Well, and he had this conversation with Jay because he said, you know, Jay's not going to understand that I didn't have this common sense because I did. And I had common sense. I had logic. I had IQ. Out my yin yang, very brilliant man, and very brilliant mother. Intellectually, he said it was our religion. He said it was our grooming. And he said, so I'm here to explain that because I'm on the other side and I'm fully understanding it. And Jay's going to agree because Jay left his mother and I and at the very same time left that religion mm-hmm. because he saw it. and said, no way am I going to do it. I'll stay single before I will ever do that to my wife, to my, or whatever partner, to my children. And he said, the pattern will break with me. So he said, could you please tell him all of that? Every single bit. And so when I said this part about the religion, Jay leaving it, you see Jay just looking at me and shaking his head. Yep. He's affirming for me. He's just now putting in his own energy to affirm for me. That's correct.
I have a question for you. Like, yeah, at some point, does this session get tougher than what we've already started discussing?
So maybe I have to stop qualifying the sessions at the beginning.
Yeah, like this is a very smooth session. Jay sounds like a wonderful client Jay is. So far. Dad's on his game. Like nothing about this sounds tough.
Okay. Okay. Yes, you're correct, Kelly. Thank you.
Okay. I just, you know, no, myself and listeners probably would like to unclench our butts waiting for things to get tough.
Okay, unclench.
All right.
We will give the command. Unclench.
Okay, go on.
And breathe. Okay. You see, when Jay hears the part about that Dad knows that he left the religion, he looks at me and he goes, he knows I left it? Because he didn't know his dad knew that. Mm-hmm. And he goes, Dad knew that I broke the pattern. Dad knows. And you see, I saw tears. Mm-hmm. Very welling up in his eyes and wiping away a couple of tears that his dad knew. And he goes, I came here because I wanted to know that Dad knew. He said, I really needed to hear that he knew what I did, that I walked away and that I saw what caused this, that it was that I knew Dad was smart enough to figure out these things. So why? Why didn't he leave? If I know that my dad has the intelligence and the capability, he had the money to leave. He had all kinds of ability to do it. Why didn't he? And he said, so you're telling me it was the grooming. It was the belief system underneath it. And he said, I always suspected it. That's why I left. That's why I couldn't stay in it either. And he said, what else does he know? And I said to Dad, what else do you want to confirm? He goes, well, just a tiny bit about the religion. He did try and find another religion because he did want to believe in something like a greater source. And I said, okay, how'd that go for Jay? And he goes, still hasn't. He said, he's kind of decided that he's living by his principles. He said he's decided that he's living by his own ethics and by his own integrity, and he's trying to figure that out. And I said, okay. I said, we'll say that he's living by his own inner higher source. And he goes, yeah, you could call it that. And I said, how do you feel about that, Dad, having lived in that religion? He goes, I'm really proud of him. And I said, okay, that's what I needed to hear because that's probably what he needs to know. And he goes, I would assume so. And he said, please tell him that and please like really reinforce it if you have to repeat it because you see it's not sinking in. Mm-hmm. It's very important to me that he knows that I know that, that he's chosen integrity because clearly it's what I did not choose. Mm-hmm. And my son is choosing something that he knew his father had a choice to choose and walked away from. And he said, he's going to want to know at that point, if I feel remorse now, if I feel that sense of regret. And he says, I want you to write down the words I feel. And I said, oh, you mean like from the emotional wheel? And he goes, yes, I want you to write down the sadness. I want you to write down all these words. The frustration that I felt within myself, the irritation I felt within myself. He goes, it's important to write down all the words that I felt because then it's also going to explain to him that these are the feelings that I was emoting and showing in the behaviors of avoidance, in the behaviors of now becoming the perpetrator like my wife. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, I didn't fight my wife. I enabled her, which means I also participated in abuse. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm as guilty as my wife of abuse. And he says, by neglect, by avoidance. He goes, she might be the one that actually threw the insults like and repeatedly, but I stopped defending. I stopped the correction. I didn't say to her anymore, that's enough. I walked out of the room and went and took care of another kid, being busy, but letting another child, him in particular, have all of that abuse fall on. And that now I understand that that fell on all of the other children, not just him. So they created their own ways to defend themselves and their own ways to think about him in order to take care of their own needs. Mm-hmm. He says, I understand that now. And he said, at the time, I thought I was the one in control of all running all that interference, controlling all those emotions for all those kids, mm-hmm. and trying to control my wife's emotions. He said, I didn't understand how much of a control freak I was, and that I was trying to maintain control over these things. I wouldn't have admitted to anybody that I was controlling. I would have just said that I was easygoing, that I was trying to keep the family together, that I was showing and demonstrating love for my kids, love for my wife. Look at what a good spouse I am being. He says, and we went to our religious establishment weekly to show people that we were doing that. And he said, and I stood there believing, especially when I saw coworkers, when I saw clients, when I saw people in that congregation, believing that I was getting away with it. And he said, I didn't get away with anything. You don't get away with anything at the time, because there's always consequences for people, always. And he said, and you don't get away with it when you cross over. And it's not that they make you suffer. It's that you have to learn and feel your feelings and process everything and move through it. He says, that's also what Jay wants to hear. He wants to know, do I know? Did I know at the time? What the hell was I doing as a father to be able to ignore all of that? How could I? Because he can't understand, given who he is, how I could have. But the answer is, I didn't have integrity, and he does.
Yeah, that's one way to word it. I'll say too, like, the fear has to be big enough for you to not lean into integrity. The fear has to be big enough for you to not see that you have choices, right? Fear is pretty gripping.
Yeah. Yeah, and he said part of his fear was, like, not appearing perfect, and that mm-hmm. he had to be perfect. And part of the perfection was that you were married, that you had a partner, that you had children, that you provided. And he said, that's one of the things my wife and I did extraordinarily well, because we both had careers where we had a lot of money and we had, like, status in our community. So we had prestige and people looked up to us. They looked to us to make decisions for them because of our jobs. And then they gave us more power by asking us to volunteer. And that gave us even more power in our community.
Control.
Yeah, because we volunteered in positions of authority. We didn't go in and serve at a soup kitchen. We sat as the director of the soup kitchen.
Right.
We made sure we picked those positions. And then we would walk out and serve in that role and give somebody a meal at the soup kitchen. But knowing that behind it, I'm running the soup kitchen. Like, there was always... Mm-hmm. Always positions of power. And so I said all of this to Jay, and he said, I needed to hear today that my dad knows exactly what his true motivators are, because it eats at my integrity that he thought and thinks still on the other side that he got away with it. Mm. He goes, it eats at me. He's like, because I value that integrity so much, I need to know that my dad knows better. And he said, and I need to know that he knows how he treated me and that he made a choice. And I said, he did. He put his own needs above all of his own children while he was trying to run this interference. And he goes, yep. And I said, Jay, are you in therapy? And he said, yes, I am. And I have been for years. And I went to therapy before I came to see you, preparing to see you. I told my therapist I was coming to see you to have this conversation with my dad. And we went through the things I needed to hear. We went through how I might respond to those things, where those things might trigger me, how I might be prepared not to be triggered. And I said, oh, this is fantastic. He said, yes, I got very prepared for this. And he said, and I booked a session with my therapist for after this session. And I've got a recording of it in my notes and my photograph now. And he said, and I'm going back to my therapist to be able to still process it post-session with you.
Yeah.
And he said, because there's no way that I wanted to be able to just come to this and then sit in more of my feelings without knowing how to really process them. And I said, okay. I said, your dad has said that you're in therapy. And I wanted to confirm that you are. I wanted to make sure that you were taking good care of yourself. And he said, wait a minute, my dad knows I'm in therapy. And I said, yes. So my dad knows that I prepared to see him. And my dad's answering all these questions. I think I'm getting what's going on. And he had a moment. And then you, like Kelly, it can go like this, because I remember him like kind of like, you know, when a man mm-hmm. sometimes plays with his chin, like in feeling the stubble or whatever. He sat there and he looked at me and he went, this is sinking in. He said, you're telling me my dad knew all of this. He said, because Karen, I haven't had to ask my questions. I said, go open. And you've been able to answer the questions I wrote on the page with my therapist. And you've even followed along some of the lines that if this happened, this, like mm-hmm. in a little chart, and I see where dad's gone down those roads, like right to the very end to take care of me. And I said, yes. And he goes, so dad's taking care of me. And I said, yeah. And he goes, And there's just this moment. He goes, my inner child, around the age of 7, when I realized dad had stopped taking care of me, he says, just needed that. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, Jay, it did. And he goes, okay. He goes, I want to thank you for being able to give me that, because we decided in therapy that this was really important, this session with you, because she admitted this is not something she can give me. Mm-hmm. This is only something someone with your skills can. So she said to me, go. So he said, I'm grateful. He says, and I just need to sit for a few minutes. He says, is it okay to have silence, or do you have to constantly talk? And I said, no, we can have silence. And he said, okay, I need it. So we sat in silence, and then I don't speak because he's asked for it. So I let Jay come back when he's ready to speak. And then he said to me at the end, I want to thank my dad for finally being my dad. And he said, today I finally feel like I've got a dad a little bit. And he said, so Karen, I have a question. Now that dad knows all of this, you're like, is it true then? Like, this is going to continue? Like, can I actually talk to my dad now on my own? And I said, yes.
Could before too, just for clarity.
And he goes, and my dad now has the integrity? And I said, yes. He goes, that's why we don't suffer when we cross over. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's right. He goes, that's why there's no hell. And I said, that's right. He goes, because you're saying that we actually figure it out and show up. And if the human is willing to make the connection to them, then both sides get to keep healing. And I said, that's right. And he went, this is brilliant.
I want to point something out that I think is just beautiful about humans. And I think it often goes overlooked, is that when we're in our adult ego and anger, we can come to a session like this and just want to be right. We want to hear the information and just be right in order to kind of metaphorically point a finger and say, you were wrong, meaning dad for his behaviors. But the essence of that inner kid that he referred to has zero intention of saying, I was right and you were wrong. That inner kid is always driven by the desire to know that our parents love us and for our parents to know that we love them, right? So Jay shows up with this intention to say, I was right, right? Like, confirm that I'm not crazy. I was right about this in my integrity, with an intention to be able to connect to his dad and say, I went no contact
from a place of integrity, not because I didn't want your love or need your love, but because I chose love. And are you open to that now? I think that's the remarkable part of humans that is at our essence, which, I mean, really is the soul. Because here he is. Here he is wanting a relationship with Dad.
Are we both trying not to cry at the same
time? No, I'm good.
Okay.
I don't know why you called this a rough session. Mm. I think this is beautiful.
What was your last question, Kelly, or statement?
I think this is beautiful.
No, before that?
He still wants a relationship with his dad.
Bingo.
And that's what we all fucking want. Even when we have definitively said no contact till death, it's because, and again, it's that boundary. I need to be able to love me and you. I can't do that if you're in my life as your unhealthy self. That's the choice you're making. So I'm going to put this no contact boundary in place, knowing that I would prefer to have a healthy parent that I could love and be with. But if that can't happen until you're dead, so be it. That's still an act of love.
Mm-hmm.
When it's coming from the right place.
Yeah.
Not no contact, I didn't get my way, and I'm going to be the unhealthy one.
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with Jay.
That's right. And I feel really lucky or fortunate. I know I've worked hard to be the person that hooks those two people up, that gets to be present, that gets to be part of that with them and facilitate that, because I understand not every person can do it on their own just yet. And that hopefully Jay now keeps growing and evolving like his dad, and they get to lean in and start connecting to each other more.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.